a friend, and we'll see you at the Amazing Race. Get registered now at riverridge.tv/events. And now let's continue in our current series, Spiritual Fruit.
All right. Hey, well, good morning, everybody. Everybody who made it in the house, full house today, second service. And if you're new or visiting, I want to welcome you. And I'm so glad that you're here. If we haven't met, my name's Andy, and I'm one of the pastors here. I want to say we're glad that you are giving God this time. And as always, I want to say hello to everybody who's out there watching online, wherever you're watching from. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, again, like whether it's your first time here, you've been here for a long time, my hope and prayer is that God's already met you. How about it? Has God met you so far today? So far, so good? Yep. I want that to continue on as we get into his word. So let's get to it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those and open them up. We're going to be in James chapter 5 today. James chapter 5. And as you are getting there, if you're new or visiting, we are in week number 4 of a series that we're calling Spiritual Fruit, where we're looking at what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a Christian. And it's coming from this list of things that we get from Galatians 5. I'm going to put it up there for us really quick. And I love how it gives it to us in the New Living Translation. It says this in Galatians 5:22. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so we've been looking at these things individually through the summer, but really the big idea that we have about these is that even though, because I mean, you can look at these and these seem like common words, like, and they are, they seem like common things to all of us and traits, but the key for us is what's found here in the front of verse 22, where it says that the Holy Spirit produces these in our lives. And so here's what this means for us. What this means is, even though these seem like common traits, common everyday qualities, this is going after something more than that. It's going after something more than that, because see, when the Holy Spirit is who is producing these, then what this is saying is that there's a power behind the characteristics that's different. That there is a God element involved that just, it puts these things in another category for us as Christians. It's not the same. It's not common. It's different. It's supernatural. And that's what we're looking into. So again, these aren't just things that we, you know, try harder to do as much as this. Is that here's what they should be. When you look at this, this is an evidence of God working in your life. That's what this should be. Like, people should be looking in the life of a believer and say, man, look at the peace they've got. Look at the joy going on in their lives. Man, look how good they are, faithful. All that. These are things that should be evident that God is at work in us. And even though, you know, we could find ways to maybe improve on these, right, or seeing these happening more in our lives, here's the thing for us. All of this is always going to come down to one thing. It's going to come down to my surrender to God, not my willpower alone. You get me, everybody, right? Like, it's how much I surrender to God to allow these things going on. And that's what's so great about these things, because honestly, look at this list and tell me one of these things that you don't want to have going on in your life, right? Like, these are all, if we have all this happening, all this like going on in our lives, then our lives will be full of blessing. And the good news is this. This is the good news. See, the more that we walk with the Spirit, like the more that we empower and allow the Holy Spirit to just be working in our lives, then the more these will begin to show up in our everyday lives, because that's the Holy Spirit's role. Like, he has a lot of things that he does, but one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit is to point us to that path and to guide us to these things. And here's the other good news. He never stops working in your life, everybody. Like, he's never stopped. Like, right now, as you said, he's working these things in your life. And the thing is, like, we are never as far away from these as we think. Isn't that good news, everybody? We're never as far away from any of these as we think we are. And I'm building all this up, okay? Because today, we're going to look at a fruit that some might say, I think God left this one out in my spiritual salad, Andy. Like, this is one of those fruits that, like, you know, you go shopping, and it's like one of those fruits that you get, and it's never ripe, no matter how it looks. Like, it's never ripe. This is going to be like this. Today, we're going to look at patience. Patience. Come on, somebody. Man, I wish it was more ripe in my life, okay? Like, and so this is what we're going to look at. Here's the truth for pretty much all of us. We're not very good at waiting. Yeah. We're terrible at waiting. We don't value waiting for anything. I mean, let's be honest. Some of you lost patience with me already because I didn't get to the fruit quick enough, right? You're like, just say what it is. And it's even on your outlines. You even knew what it was, right? And you're like, I know what it is. Come on, Andy, right? Come on, I know you're out there. I know you're out there, right? We hate to wait. We hate to wait. Actually, I love looking up statistics, and this is an easy one to find a bunch of stuff on. So I found like a list of things that I wanted to share with us and just see how good you do. This is how impatient we are as a society. Here's the first one. More than half of Americans, half of us in this room, admit to saying or screaming go to the car in front of them within 2 seconds of the light turning green, right? Think about that. Green, want to go. It's not me, it's you. Okay, here's the next one. Here's the next one. If you see me screaming, I'm just singing. That's all I'm doing. 90% of us admit to opening a web page, and if it doesn't load within 3 seconds, say, something wrong with the Wi-Fi, okay? 90% of us. 72% of people admit to pushing an already lit elevator button, okay? Like anybody out there with me, right? Come on. Fun fact. Here's a fun fact. I found this out. Okay, this is really true. Do you know the closed door button on the elevator, the one with the arrows that go this way and you hit it? Like, do you know if the elevator's been installed past 1990, that's a dummy button. It does nothing. It doesn't do anything. And here's the thing, and it's because of ADA regulations, but here's what happened. They stopped putting that button in, but they had to keep putting a dummy button in because people lost their minds that button wasn't there. Okay? And here's the thing. Some of you are still going to hit that button. It doesn't even matter that I said it. It doesn't do anything. You're still going to sit there like that. Won't do a thing. Won't do it. So hopefully if a guy's coming after you, that ain't gonna do nothing. Okay, I'm just saying. 1 in 3 people admit they've yelled, come on, at their microwave. All right, like, you know how much time is left. Why are you yelling, come on? Like, right, come on. And half of people say they've abandoned their online shopping cart because 2-day shipping felt too long. Come on, everybody. We hate to wait. We don't like to wait. People have, in fact, monetized this concept in our society. You pay more so you don't have to wait as long, right? Nothing proves this more than Disney, right? A couple summers ago, my family and I went to Disney, and one of Courtney's friends is a Disney planner. And so, man, the first day we were there in the park, Courtney's friend actually gifted all of us with a lightning lane on one of the biggest rides that was there. And what a lightning lane is you pay money to skip people, okay? That's you just skip a whole bunch of people. And it was one of the first things we did, and I regret that was the first thing we did, I'm telling you, because we got in there, and I'm like, oh, this is all, we were passing so many people. Miserable people. You know what I mean? We were like, yeah. And we got there. And here's the thing. I knew as much as I was saying, this is great, I was like, this is going to be so expensive because I'm not going back to the regular lines. And I didn't. I paid a lot of money because we will even pay so we don't have to wait, right? And the thing is, like, there is a value that we put, unfortunately, as a society, on having impatience rather than waiting. We value impatience more than we do waiting. But here's what I found out. When you look back in history, in every single ancient culture, ancient civilization that really mattered and that like contributed to human progression, every single one of them valued patience. Like they wrote about it, they talked about it, they said this is what we're gonna hold high. Because here's the thing, everyone that really contributed to progression in society, they knew that if you can't be patient as a person, you'll just be a shallow person. That's what every single Asian society said, that you'll become shallow. In fact, if you can't wait, what they would say is that you'll become impulsive, you'll become reckless, and you'll make bad choices because you don't take time to think. And then what will eventually happen, you'll be a person also who misses all kinds of opportunities because of impatience. In fact, you know, my guess in a room this size is that there is a whole lot of us in this room that you would say, if you're honest with yourself, that you could point to a time or point to a circumstance where impatience caused you to make a bad decision, a wrong turn, or a regrettable action of some sort. And so here's the big idea, though. This is why we want to check in on this one today. Here's the big idea. If you really think about it, looking at your life, isn't it true that every single thing that actually matters, it requires patience? Everything that actually really matters requires patience. Think about it, right? If you want a good marriage, it requires patience. Marriage would be a mess without having patience. Parenting requires patience. Can I get a good amen out there, parents? Come on now. We need a lot of, I need a lot of patience. I don't know about you. Man, you got to have patience to be a good parent, right? And even, listen, when it comes to our spiritual maturity, that takes patience. If you want to be more like Jesus, you have to learn and you have to be prepared to have patience. So let's just learn a little bit more about patience today, all right? We're gonna jump to James 5, and here's what we're gonna do. In here, we're gonna learn three things about patience, okay? We're gonna first learn what it is. We're gonna get like a working definition, and we're gonna see a few examples of that. And then we're gonna see why it's important. And then we're gonna look at how we can actually allow patience to grow in us, how we can allow the Holy Spirit to grow it more in our lives. Okay, so let's get to reading. James 5, hopefully you found your way there. We're going to pick us up in verse 7, and here's what James says. He goes, okay, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. All right, so first two words is the command, be patient, right? This is what he's saying. This is your command. Be patient as a follower of Jesus. So what is patience? I have if you want to get your notes out there, I have a working definition of what patience is, and here's what it is. Patience, if you guys got it, patience is the ability to wait and endure without giving in to anger or frustration. All right, so it's the ability to wait and endure without giving in to anger or frustration. Author Paul Tripp, I like how he puts it. He just gives us a different thought about patience. Here's what he says about patience. He says, patience is quietness of heart, rest of the soul in the face of delay. And here's what he says. This is what happens like when sin kind of comes in. Sin causes us not to like delay because sin causes us to shrink our world down to the present, to the me and mine and to the here and now. Isn't that so true? Isn't that so true? And so James says, no, for us, like as believers in Jesus, again, who have the Holy Spirit working in us, he goes, I'm just telling you, be patient. You're going to be able to find this, not because of your willpower, the Holy Spirit could bring it about in your life. And so then over the next couple of verses here, what we're going to see is we're going to see two kinds of patience with examples. He's going to give us a couple examples of patience with examples behind him. So let's get to the first kind, verse 7. He says this. He says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you too will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. All right, so in this first one, here's what James is pointing us to. James is giving us, he's given us an illustration of a farmer, and then he's given us an example of don't grumble. Okay, so let's see how these work together for us to have patience. So a couple things that we know about farming. You don't have to know a whole lot to know these things, right? A couple things to know. One thing is that farmers, like they plant their stuff and then they have to wait, right? Like they know they have to wait. They don't expect the harvest right away. They don't expect fruit to grow the next day. They have to wait. So here's what every farmer understands. What every farmer understands is that waiting isn't useless. It's necessary. It's necessary. Because they know, here's what they know, and that's what we gotta understand too. Just because you might not see it right away doesn't mean radical change is not happening, everybody. You get what I'm saying? Like, especially when it comes to God. It's the same thing as when a farmer looks at his crops. Just because you don't see it right away doesn't mean that big change isn't happening when we wait. So as far as an illustration of patience, we get that, right? Like, we get it. That's totally easy to understand. And then, the example, though, that we get from James with this kind of patience is in verse 8, which is this. So he goes, so don't grumble around each other. Don't grumble against one another, okay? So here's the first kind of patience that we should have. We should have patience with people. Patience with people. The Greek word in here is what I'm not going to try to pronounce this, so I have it up here for you, everybody. Like, don't even get me in that trap, all right? Like, so this is the Greek word that is used in verse 8 for patience, and here's what it means. It means long suffering. So here's again how long suffering and grumbling and patience with people are connected, because he's connecting these two. He's saying these two are tied together. So when you look at the word grumble, all right? Like whenever you are grumbling against someone, here's what you're doing. What you're doing is you are showing resentment and negativity toward that person. And here's what that is. This is exactly the opposite of long suffering. That's why they're connected. When you grumble, you're showing the opposite of long suffering, because grumbling against someone means that you've given up on them. Like you stopped pulling for them. You're not willing to pray for them anymore. You're not willing the good for them anymore. You're not sticking with them. And that's what grumbling points to, that you are not long suffering, right? You're the opposite of that. And so, like, just bringing us in here a little bit, right? I'm coming off the porch and I'm coming into your living room, everybody. All right, here we go. Like it's thinking about this, like, just for us, okay? At least most of the time, right? Like when people disappoint or frustrate us, like, we don't really jump to hating them. But what we can do is jump to grumbling about them, right? And we might not do it to their face, and we might not even do it to, like, somebody else most of the time, okay? Depends how trusted friends you got, right? You know what I'm saying? But what can happen is we grumble. And so here's what I'm gonna say. Is there anybody in your life, just anybody in your life, right, where, like, you see them across the room or in the store, and then they see you and they start coming towards you, and as they get closer to you, you go, ah. What is that? Come on, what is that? That's grumbling. You're grumbling about them. And when we do that, what is taking place is the opposite of long suffering with them. And here's what I want to say to us, all of us. I just think as Christians who have the Holy Spirit in us, we should be better at this. Like, we should be better at this. And it's not because of what we can do, but what the Holy Spirit can do in us and through us. And so we need to be better about this, both inwardly with other Christians for sure, but also how we treat people who are not yet Christians. To be long-suffering with people, here's what it means. This is what it means. We love different. We just love different. We handle conflict different. We handle tension and relationships differently, that we don't automatically get this annoyance or irritation with each other like everyone else does. Because here's why. Because we know that God wants us to have unity. We know that God wants us to have a love that is what? Patient. It's a very first definition of love in Corinthians. It's patient. It's patient for each other. Doesn't mean we don't call people out. Doesn't mean we don't have risks with people, but we always do with patience, and we never, ever grumble. Amen, everybody? That's what he's saying. That's the first kind of patience, right? Patience with people. We don't grumble. Let's read on for the second one, verse 10. So then he says, all right, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. Next verse. You who have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So the second kind of patience that we have to have as followers of Jesus is we have patience with people, but we also have to have patience in circumstances. We have patience in circumstances. And here, this is what I found really interesting. Like, as I dug deep, and I don't do this all the time, the Lord kind of led me to do this. But in this passage, there are actually two different definitions, two different words that are used for patience. And in this way that he used patience, it's this word that I'm not going to try to pronounce. But it's this one. And it means something a little different than long suffering. What it actually means is it means abiding under, abiding under. Pastor and theologian Tim Keller, who I love, like, he says it like this, and I really love the imagery that he uses here. So here's what he says. He says this word actually means more like to hyperstand in place. That's what he says, hyperstand in place. And then he starts talking about that it's like that you're in a battle, that you're in a battle, and then in the battle, your commander comes when you're, like, in mid-fight with your opponent, and he says, I want you to take your stand right here. And no matter what is thrown at you, no matter how overwhelming the attack, you can't retreat, you cannot give one inch, because if they get by, everything is lost, okay? So you have to stay there no matter what, that you hyperstand in place with whatever is going on. And so no matter how difficult the circumstance, right, that you unflinchingly continue to do three things: be the person you should be, live the life that you should be living, and doing the things that you should be doing. That you hyperstand in place, you don't despair. And then James here, He gives us two examples of this to follow, to look at and reflect on. He gives us the prophets and he gives us Job. Okay, now real quick, here's the prophets. So the prophets are the Old Testament people. You can read, there's a bunch of books that they wrote that we have. You can read about them in the Old Testament. But the prophets were people who preached the word of God and they gave God's revelations of things, prophecies of things that were going to happen but didn't happen in their day. Okay, the things that he was going to do in the future. And so here's, the prophets spent their entire lives trying to change people who resisted change. Think about that. Like change, no. Like that's their life, okay? Like that's it, right? And here's the thing, at minimum, like prophets were not popular, but at most they were persecuted and martyred and they were put to death with what they taught. And on top of this, think about this. Pretty much all of them never saw any of the prophecies come to be until after their death. So they didn't see any of it until they were actually in heaven and what happened way later. Okay, so that's the prophets. And then we have Job. Job, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job. It's a long book in the Old Testament. And I mean, here's the thing. Like the only thing that really happened to Job was he had lost all his land, all his family, all his wealth, all his health, actually. And in fact, really the only thing that was left in his life was his wife. And in Job 2, she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die, okay? And it's like, so everything was taken from Job except for that encouraging little lady, right? And he's like, come on, man, like, what? That's what I get left, okay? So that's the only thing that was left. But when you look at these examples, and especially Job, if we just look at Job, and again, if you've never read Job, I encourage you to do it, to go back and read it. But if you haven't read, here's the entire book of Job is actually not so much about how Job was treated by people, but it's how he was being treated by life, everybody. How things were coming at him with zero control, that he had zero control over it. It was happening stuff that was out of his control. And here's the thing, for us, it's in those moments when things happen, circumstances come with suffering or loss, or pain, it's in those moments, isn't it, everybody, where the weight can be weary. It could be weary. And it's easy to give up. It's easy to maybe give in. It's easy to say, you know what, man, what's the use? What's the use? Or like, why stay obedient? Like, I'm hurting so much. And you're kind of left to wonder if it's worth it to still be praying. If it's worth it to still be listening to God. Because it doesn't seem like God's very active right now. But here's what James says in the midst of, right in the middle of this, remember them. That's what he's saying. He's encouraging. Hey, remember Job. Remember the prophets. Why? Here's why. Because, like, if you were to live in the time of any of these prophets, you were there in the day that they were there. If you go and you were like one of Job's buddies, right? And you were living there. Here's the thing. If you were living with them and among them, you would never have said, looked at them and looked at their life and said, man, there's a blessed person. No. You would have actually said, no, they seem pretty cursed. They seem pretty cursed. And here's the point. This is what James is saying. The point is, all these people went through a season or a time or a life, incredible stretches of suffering in their life. And why James is telling us to look at them and recall them is because for all of them, not one is excluded. For every single one of them, in the end, blessings came. Like their prophecies came true. And here's the thing, their faith and their knowledge of God being God never left. It never left. And it's only now that we look and say, man, they were blessed. They were blessed. But listen, they had to wait for the blessing. They had to hyper stand in place and they didn't move when everything was telling them to move. Anybody hear me out there? Like, you ever been in a place in your life where, like, if you ever feel like everything's telling you to move, everything's telling you to get out of the way, and he's like, no, stay in place, remember God, remember his faithfulness, remember who he is, remember, come on somebody, remember the blessings coming. So we hyper stand in place, be patient, it's coming. So these are the two positions that the Holy Spirit is guiding us to, okay? So why is this important? Why is this important? Why is patience important? Here's why. It's important because impatience will most of the time lead to one result and one result only. And here it is, mistakes. It will lead us to mistakes. If we let impatience rule our lives, it will ultimately lead us to mistakes. There's really two big ways, if you want to write these down, two big things that will happen when we let impatience take control. The first thing that will happen is when we let impatience control us, we'll assume. And here's what I mean by that. I think sometimes instead of like waiting and exercising patience for an answer, we assume that God's silence means to move forward with our plans, right? That all it's like, well, I haven't heard from him. It's like silence is permission, okay? But we need to realize, here's what we need to realize, gang. Sometimes God's silence is a call to wait, not act. Right? Sometimes him being silent is exactly what we need to be in and what we need to be experiencing. Here's a perfect example of this. Perfect example in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah. Right? If you know the story, it's in Genesis, Old Testament. God told Abraham, hey, listen, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a son. Not only that, count the stars. That's how many generations is going to come from you. And I'm going to bless you and all these things. Here's the only problem. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. Right? And so in the middle of that, and they were old, right? And in the middle of that, he's like, God, you're telling me I'm going to have a son. We're going to have a kid. And they tried and they couldn't have a kid. And here's what happened. See, instead of them waiting and trusting on God's timing, Abraham decided to have a child through Sarah's servant. And what happened, it was the fallout of that was generational problems. Generational trouble. You can read for yourself. And here's what I want to tell. See, for us, sometimes by not waiting, sometimes when we let impatience take over, here's what we will find. We will settle for something less than God's best. Yeah. And worse than that, it will cause more damage than we think. Right? So we'll assume. Here's the second thing that can happen. We'll manipulate. That's why impatience is so important. Because when impatience takes over, we'll start manipulating. Like when we get impatient, isn't it true? Like we will start to see through the lens we want to see through. Like we will manipulate everything to justify any decision we want to go after. Like that's what impatience does, right? And we're not using our brains. And so we'll find ways to manipulate the outcome that we want, right? And what will happen also, we'll start manipulating God's word to get the answer. Like we'll manipulate to fit the answer that we want. Like so what people do, and unfortunately it happens a lot more often than you think, like we'll stop reading the Bible for truth and we'll use it like a magic eight ball in our lives. We'll do it, right? Like, and I'm telling you, in my experience as a pastor, the conversation I've had with people, families, couples, I'm telling you, man, like people, it's crazy how easily they could justify just about anything by using a scripture they completely use out of context. I'm like, that is not what that is saying. And they're like, no, that's what that's saying. No. But man, we do that all the time. And here's the thing, like when we, as believers in Jesus who have the Holy Spirit in us, when we are letting impatience win, we will find ourselves doing that too. And we do not want to put ourselves in that position, right? So we need to realize what's on the line with impatience and believe. We need to believe that having patience isn't passive. Having patience isn't passive. Here's what it is. It's power under control. We're going to talk a little bit more about self-control here in a few weeks. And listen, we got to realize that when we don't get ahead of God, then what we'll see is God's wisdom come in and we will have fewer regrets in our life with him. Amen, everybody? Right? So that's why it's so important. Now, how do we develop it? How do we allow the Holy Spirit to bring more patience in our life? I don't know about you. I will take any amount of instruction for that because I need some more patience. Anybody with me? So how do we do that? And maybe nobody's with me. All right, I'm with myself. Okay, here we go. How do I let the Holy Spirit work? You can just listen for a few minutes. Three things that James points us to, and I'm telling you, they're great. If we could do these three things, man, I'm telling you, we'll find more patience working in our lives. Here's the first thing that James tells us to do, that we've got to recall the past. We got to recall the past. Like in verse 11, we already read it and talked about it, but he says, hey, so you got to pay attention to how he says. He goes, hey, you have heard of Job's perseverance and you have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So what he says, catch this, he says, so you have heard and you have seen. So what James is saying is like, you already know this, like this already happened. And so if you could just go back and if you can look and if you can get to the past to recall how God's worked in the past, then you'll allow patience to come in more. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, like sometimes all it takes for me is to look back in my life and remember how faithful God has been. I don't know about you, but I forget about that sometimes. Sometimes I don't remember and I'm like, man, you were so faithful, God. How did I miss that, God? And if we just allow the time to look back and see his faithfulness and see how amazing his presence was and see how much he already shown up. And listen, as we start to do that in our own lives and we start to remember his compassion and we remember his mercy from before, it will cause us to develop patience to trust him more in the unknown right now. Everybody, does that make sense? So we recall the past. Here's the second thing that we do, that we reflect on the future. We reflect on a future. Look, if you go back to verse 8, here's what James says. Listen to the progression. He goes, be patient, therefore, the Lord's coming is at hand. So he says, right after, be patient, the Lord's coming is at hand. So what he's saying, what he's pointing us to, is that we reflect, we look forward to what is to come. So we look in the past and we look forward to what is to come. And if you actually look in the whole passage here, just in this little chunk of scripture, James talks about this three times. He says, be patient until the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is near. He's standing at the door. And here's what James is saying, everybody. Don't miss this. Here's what he's saying. Hey, Jesus is coming back. Come on, somebody. Jesus is coming back. You need to remember that this ain't it. That we're not there yet, right? He's coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he will. It's a promise that everything will be wiped away. Sin is going to be gone. Everything's going to be made right, but it's just not yet. And gang, that's where we are. Right now, we're in the not yet. We're in the middle. We're in the middle. Here's what we're in. We're in the middle of what Jesus has done and what Jesus will do. So we're in the middle of what he has done, which was come to this earth and he suffered and died and came back from the dead. And what Jesus will do, which is eradicate sin and restore shalom. And aren't we so glad that he's going to do that, everybody? And we're just right now, this is established. And so we're right in the middle of it, right? But here it is, everybody. Here it is for you. So in the middle, we got two choices. Either trust God or don't trust God. That's it. Do you trust God or don't trust God? And what this is pointing to is, and as we reflect on the future, as we reflect on eternity, knowing that this is not it, this is just a blip compared to where we're going to be, Jesus gives us what we need to trust him in everything else, right? So we recall the past, we reflect on the future. Here's a third one. We remember God's patience with me. And I'm, you know, I don't know, like for me, this one is like it. Like, cause again, I don't want to speak into your life, but for me, like looking at my life, like I thought about this a lot, man, I am so grateful for so many things in my life. Like I really, like I am so grateful for all the things that God's blessed me in his life. And I am telling you, one of these things that is on top of my list is that I am so grateful that God is patient with me. That he isn't just like, you know, the God of second chances, but the God of third, fourth, and come on everybody, 50th chances. Cause man, I make mistakes. I don't know about you, but like I mess up a lot. Aren't you glad your pastor said that, okay? Like it's true. I don't get it right every time. And man, I'm so glad that God is patient with me, that he wants to develop me and he wants to make me more like Christ and that his goal, I think some of us mess this up so much. His goal is not to come down on you. His goal is not to drop the hammer on you and to fold his arms at you and to turn his back on you. No, no, no. His goal is restoration. His goal is reconciliation. His goal is making you more like his son. And I'm telling you, we will not nail that every time. And aren't we so glad we got a God that doesn't kick you while you're down. He picks you up and dusts you off and says, all right, go forward in Jesus. Come on, somebody. Anybody so glad we know that about our God? It's awesome. Yeah, I love that about God. He's the God of one more try. Oh, isn't that awesome? He's a God of one more try. Here's what it says about him. In 2 Peter 3 says this about God. It says, the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promises, some count as slowness, but he's patient toward you. Right there, black and white, he's patient towards you. Not wishing anybody should perish, but it leads to repentance, man. So he's like, man, just repent and get back with me. Here's what Psalm 86 says. It says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's our God. That's our God. He's not a drop of the hammer God. He's a God who's gracious and merciful and who loves you. And he wants nothing more for you than to be more like his son, Jesus. And he knows that we won't nail it all the time. And so then we can trust. This is what happens. Then we can trust that he's going to be there to say, get back up. Get back up, son. Get back up, daughter. I'm not giving up on you. So you don't give up on yourself. Have patience, right? Man, I'm glad God's like that. And gang, it's through God's patience with us. I'm telling you, this one more than any of the other ones is through his grace and his mercy that is driving us to be patient too. Patient with people and patient in our circumstances. Because when we have God's grace on us and when we can look back in the past and we can recall what's going to happen in the future and we can allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to give us this patience. And then everybody, listen, then when we can live out that patience in the world that really needs to see it, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. That's tapping into something uniquely different. Amen, everybody? And here's the encouragement to you as I'm finishing up. Here it is. Here's my encouragement to you. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. This isn't it. And so we get to look forward to that. That we're established and we are rooted in these practices, not because they're just a great idea to do, because we have a God of the universe and we know that this isn't it. And there is a promise that there will be a final resolution to all this where all of sin will be eradicated, right? Shalom will be restored. God promises it. He's working all things out and he's spurring you on and he's saying, hang in there. Hey, hang in there. Be patient. Blessings are coming. Blessings are promised and they're coming because Jesus is coming back. Let me pray for us. God, I know for me, this one is one that I could always think a lot about, and I wish I had more patience in my life, but man, I'm just so refreshed to know that it's not from my trying harder. It's just me tapping into you more. And I just pray and hope that so many of us feel released from the burden of trying to find it in ourselves, but we can just look to you, surrender. It's about our surrendering to you, not just our willpower. God, help us to find that. Holy Spirit, right now I pray over us to tap into you more, to just allow you to work, that as we look back in the past and see where God worked, that we look forward to Jesus coming back and we know that that's a promise is gonna happen. That as we're in the middle, that we are in the middle, that we choose to trust you. That we choose to trust you. Holy Spirit, work in us. This world needs to see patience, not as a regular word, but what God can do through us and in us. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to allow you to work in us like that. And man, I'm so glad that you can. We love you, Jesus. We need you and thank you so much for allowing all this to come because of what you did for us on the cross. And we pray for all this in your name. Amen, amen. Hey, listen, as always, our prayer team's up here. And if you need prayer for anything, anything whatsoever, come forward. They would love to pray for you. We'll see you next Sunday. 8:15 service is wide open. If you want to come and have a nice open seat, come on to 8:15.